The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Wildfires are continuing to burn around Los Angeles, with more than 10,000 structures are likely to have been destroyed, at least 10 people dead. The largest fire, the Palisades Fire, is just 6% contained. The next largest, the Eaton Fire, is completely uncontained. Now, to get the latest on the fire and other stories from the United States, we're joined by J.D. Capelluto, lead writer for Semaphore's flagship newsletter. J.D., good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Good to talk with you again.
Now, the LA fires, I mean, this is unprecedented and the damage is apocalyptic.
It's absolutely horrible. You know, 10 people dead is the official death toll at this point. Officials expect it to rise. More than 9,000 homes or structures have been destroyed. It's unlike anything LA or California has really seen. You know, you're seeing iconic, you know, Hollywood landmarks as well, and some of the most iconic neighborhoods just be completely destroyed. And just the human cost of this is absolutely unprecedented. Yeah. Like you said,
I mean, people can go online and compare the images of neighborhoods and buildings like churches and schools and cafes before the fire, and then what the fire has done, and it is devastating.
Absolutely. The before and after photos have been terrible. The photos of just homes completely leveled. And, you know, you still have, it's supposed to, they're not out of the clear yet. And, you know, it's not supposed to be fire season right now, but they're calling it fire year for California just because of how bad this has been.
And some of the prominent names in Hollywood have lost their homes. Billy Crystal, Mel Gibson, to name but two.
Many, you know, that's kind of one aspect. It's always hard to, you know, there's a lot of very, you know, so in quote unquote normal people also going through all of this. You don't want to just center
it's the people who have the money still haven't been able to protect their properties.
Exactly. It shows that, yeah, no matter what, you know, there's still this issue with weather and the, you know, the changing climate and then that sort of thing are really affecting everyone, no matter how wealthy you are.
And rather than being helpful, Donald Trump criticizing the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, claiming that he did not sign a water diversion bill, which would have delivered loads of water to California. And that is simply not true. There was no such bill.
Yeah, so Donald Trump has quickly, you know, politicized this and attacked, you know, the state's Democratic leadership. Him and Gavin Newsom have never had a great relationship, and he's attacked him a lot in the past. Yes, and in this case, like you said, he's saying that he didn't sign a bill. There hasn't been such thing. Some people think Trump may have been referring to in 2020, Newsom challenged a kind of Trump plan to that would have delivered some water from Northern California to farmers. And he kind of challenged that on kind of climate grounds, but it wasn't, you know, a plan that he would have signed off on, so to say. So hard to say what Trump is exactly referring to here, but yes, it was not a water protection bill that Newsom could have, you know, signed into law that he did.
Now, sticking with Trump today, he will be sentenced, but will certainly not face jail time. He tried his best, going to the highest court in the land, to stop this process.
Correct. Yes, we talked about this earlier this week when we spoke. This was kind of a last minute bid to avert this sentencing. That again would not result in jail time, won't really result in any sort of punishment per se in terms of probation. But it was really just his attempt to just stop the case, get it off his record. It's something like that, especially just a week before his inauguration. So kind of one more thing that he has to deal with before he takes office. But yes, the court decided to keep the sentencing in place. So it will go forward today. And the case will be on his record, but he can still, you know, appeal it after that. There's always court options.
Yeah, it's interesting. It was a 5-4 decision. The Chief Justice John Roberts was one of the five, and Amy Coney Barrett sided with the liberals to make it a 5-4 decision against Trump, which is, I suppose, interesting, suggesting that Amy Coney Barrett has some legal principles in her mind. But also, there was a story about Judge Alito and Trump talking before the case went to the Supreme Court, which is a bit worrying.
Yeah, yes, I believe that was the you're referring to the case where he, you know, asked him for, you know, hiring a legal clerk. Yes, that's certainly something that has raised some alarms. He, you know, recommended a former legal clerk to work in Trump's administration. You know, people have raised alarms over the past few years about, you know, the conflicts of interest potentially with Supreme Court justices, Alito being being kind of central to that, as well as Clarence Thomas. So certainly something that, that raises eyebrows.
Now, other stories that are current in the United States, Alec Baldwin, and we know what happened on the set of the movie Rust, where he was initially charged with some sort of manslaughter charge. Well, now he himself is suing. Can you tell us why?
Yes. So for those who might be slightly unfamiliar, this was the case where he, used a revolver on set while shooting a movie, and it thought it wasn't loaded, and it went off and killed a cinematographer on set. That case he was charged with involuntary manslaughter, and it was this very high-profile case, just giving how unique these circumstances were. It was thrown out last year. It was dismissed. The judge said that prosecutors basically withheld evidence from the defense in this case. So that was, a very big revelation. Now Baldwin is suing the prosecutors, essentially pursuing a civil case so they won't, relitigate, the criminal charges against him. This is now Baldwin saying, I want some damages for what you allegedly did to me while prosecuting and essentially waging, this what he called a malicious prosecution against him.
Now, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is rarely far from the headlines, and he's back in the news again, where a group of people have accused him of voter fraud.
RFK is such a, it's going to be such an interesting story to follow over the next few years. Obviously, now that he has, ran for president, really entered Trump's orbit and now could enter his cabinet. And yes, now the latest thing is that he's facing this legal challenge over voter fraud from him voting, saying that he, registered and voted from a New York residence where he doesn't legally reside. These cases are always hard to kind of assume how they'll work out sometimes with these things. You can say, when it comes to claiming residence, it's always hard to say how it'll play out, but certainly the latest sign of how Kennedy is staying in the headlines, kind of ahead of Trump's Trump's inauguration.
It might be a technical difficulty for him being confirmed by the Senate.
It's just one more thing on top of
a catalog of other things. JD, thank you very much for joining us on the line from the United States. That's J.D. Capelluto, lead writer for Semaphore's flagship newsletter. Well, now it's time to remind you of this.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.